Being chosen as an author for the Southside Book of the Month with Jill Appleton is one of life's top honors. Now on to the Booker Prize for Literature.
For any of you who attended the World Book Night event in April at Middlesbrough Central Library, you may have been lucky enough to have received a copy of Me Before You by George R. Moyes. It is this book that I have chosen for our May Book of the Month. Louisa Clark enjoys her simple life. She loves her job at the Buttered Bun Cafe. She enjoys living in a small town with her family. And although she and her long-term boyfriend Patrick have little in common, she likes their familiar routine. When the cafe closes and she loses her job, she is offered a six-month contract as a companion to 35-year-old quadriplegic Will Traynor. Will used to have a full life. He worked hard and played hard, but a motorcycle accident put an end to all that. He now lives in his parents' home, needing 24-hour care. He and Louisa could not be more different, and their meeting gets off to a difficult start. However, gradually it becomes apparent they both have a lot to offer one another.
If I had thought the events of the previous day would create a thaw back at Granter House, I was wrong. I greeted Will with a broad smile and a cheery hello, and he didn't even bother to look round from the window. "Not a good day," Nathan murmured, as he shouldered his way into his coat. It was a filthy, low-cloud sort of a morning, where the rain spat meanly against the windows, and it was hard to imagine the sun coming out ever again. Even I felt glum on a day like this. It wasn't really a surprise that Will should be worse. I began to work my way through the morning's chores, telling myself all the while that it didn't matter. You didn't have to like your employer anyway, did you? Lots of people didn't. I thought of Trina's boss, a taut-faced serial divorcee who monitored how many times my sister went to the loo and had been known to make barbed comments if she considered her to have exceeded reasonable bladder activity. And besides, I had already done 2 weeks here. That meant there were only 5 months and 13 working days to go. The photographs were stacked carefully in the bottom drawer, where I had placed them the previous day, and now, crouched on the floor, I began laying them out and sorting through them, assessing which frames I might be able to fix. I'm quite good at fixing things. Besides, I thought, it might be quite a useful way of killing time. I'd been doing this for about 10 minutes when the discreet hum of the motorised wheelchair alerted me to Will's arrival. He sat there in the doorway, looking at me. There were dark shadows under his eyes. Sometimes, Nathan told me, he barely slept at all. I didn't want to think how it would feel to lie trapped in a bed you couldn't get out of with only dark thoughts to keep you company through the small hours. "I thought I'd see if I could fix any of these frames," I said, holding one up. It was the picture of him bungee jumping. I tried to look cheerful. He needs someone upbeat, someone positive. Why? I blinked. Well, I think some of these can be saved. I brought some wood glue with me, if you're happy for me to have a go at them. Or if you want to replace them, I can pop into town during my lunch break and see if I can find some more. Or we could both go, if you fancy to trip out. Who told you to start fixing them? His stare was unflinching. Uh-oh, I thought. I was just trying to help. You wanted to fix what I did yesterday. Do you know what, Louisa? It would be nice, just for once, if someone paid attention to what I wanted. Me smashing those photographs was not an accident. It was not an attempt at radical interior design. It was because I actually don't want to look at them. I got to my feet. I'm sorry. I didn't think that you thought you knew best. Everyone thinks they know what I need. Let's put the bloody photos back together. Give the poor invalid something to look at. I don't want to have those bloody pictures staring at me every time I'm stuck in my bed until someone comes and bloody well gets me out again. Okay? Do you think you can get your head round that?
Louisa's limited ambitions frustrate Will. The only adventurous thing about Louisa's life is her colourful and unique choice of clothing. Louisa is frustrated that Will has given up on life. She draws up a list of adventures to prove to him he still has a lot to live for. Don't be deceived into thinking that this is just a fluffy love story. George R. Moyes draws a clear, candid picture of the practicalities of Will's situation, the everyday challenges he faces, the health issues, the unrelenting pain. It also looks at the rights of disabled people, which I thought was dealt with sensitively and compassionately.
I began to compile a new list. Things you cannot do with a quadriplegic. Number one, go on a tube train. Most underground stations don't have lifts, which pretty much ruled out activities in half of London unless we wanted to pay for taxis. Number two, go swimming without help, and unless the temperature was warm enough to stop involuntary shivering within minutes. Even disabled changing rooms are not much use without a pool hoist. Not that Will would have allowed himself into a pool hoist. Number three, go to the cinema, unless guaranteed a seat at the front, or unless Will's spasms were low-grade that day. I'd spent at least 20 minutes of Rear Window on my hands and knees picking up the popcorn that Will's unexpected knee-jerk had sent flying into the air. Number four, go on a beach, unless your chair had been adapted with fat wheels. Will's hadn't. Number five, fly on aircraft where the disabled quota had already been used up. Number six, go shopping, unless all the shops had got their statutory ramps in place. Many around the castle used their listed building status to say they couldn't fit them. Some were even telling the truth. Number seven, go anywhere too hot or too cold, temperature issues. Number eight, go anywhere spontaneously. Bags needed to be packed, routes to be double-checked for accessibility. Number nine, go out to eat, if feeling self-conscious about being fed, or, depending on the catheter situation, if the restaurant's bathroom was down a flight of stairs. Number ten, go on long train journeys, exhausting, and too difficult to get heavy motorised chair onto train without help. Number 11, get a haircut if it had been raining. All the hair stuck to Will's wheels. Weirdly, this made both of us nauseous. Number 12, go to friends' houses unless they had wheelchair ramps. Most houses have stairs. Most people do not have ramps. Our house was a rare exception. Will said there was nobody he wanted to see anyway. Number 13, go down the hill from the castle in heavy rain. The brakes were not always safe, and that chair was too heavy for me to hold. Number 14, go anywhere where there were likely to be drunks. Will was a magnet for drunks. They would crouch down, breathe fumes all over him, and make big, sympathetic eyes. Sometimes they would indeed try to wheel him off. 15, go anywhere where there might be crowds. This meant that, as summer approached, outings around the castle were getting harder, and half the places I thought we might be able to go, fairs, outdoor theatre, concerts, were ruled out. When, struggling for ideas, I asked the online quads what was the thing they would like to do most in all the world, the answer nearly always came back as, have sex. I got quite a lot of unsolicited detail on that one. But essentially, it was not a huge help. There were 8 weeks to go, and I had run out of ideas.
I love this book, which is why I chose to give it away on World Book Night. The cover gives the impression that it is a light-hearted chick lit, but this it is definitely not. The book is thought-provoking, funny, heartbreaking and uplifting. It is a story about bravery and coping with what life throws at you. I definitely recommend this book, but advise you to have the hankies at the ready.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
From Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls and the Book of the Month show with Jill Appleton, Jill Prowse, and Rob Nichols, this is Shane Rimmer congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this podcast.
Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to cause.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Book of the Month. More than a podcast, greater than a radio show, quite simply an audio treat for the enlightened with Jill Appleton and Jill Prowse. And every so often, some extremely lovely writers.
Being chosen as an author for the Southside Book of the Month with Jill Appleton is one of life's top honors. Now on to the Booker Prize for literature.
So I'm looking at news in the I newspaper, Ellen Lee Dugan talking about the template for a patient's declaration of their desire to die has been included in the details of the assisted dying bill, which was published for the first time yesterday. And it's particularly pertinent that actually the Book of the Month for May was indeed focusing on that by Jojo Moyes, Me Before You. Now, in the studio, we do actually have Jill Prowse and we also have Kayleigh Carr. But for a variety of reasons, it's all to do with time. Neither of them have actually read the book as yet. We'll come to them in a few minutes. So it's really yourself, Jill Appleton, and myself who'll be talking through this. I found this extraordinarily powerful. I thought, as a text, I'm not afraid to actually admit it. It did have me in tears. There were so many important things that were raised at here, and not just in terms of differently enabled people's rights and wherewithals, and we specifically selected that for the second reading, but just in terms of the way that Moyes actually kind of addresses the characters, because we start off with that heck of a start where we are introduced to the character of Will.
Yes, as he was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very much all action hero, etc. And then bang, suddenly all gone completely.
Yeah.
Particularly interesting, if I can actually trail ahead to something we're doing with the East Rail people, or the people from East Coast Railways, because one of our presenters actually is a paraplegic, not a quadriplegic, but she's going to be actually trying out East Coast Railways to see how it's like getting her from York to London, and we're going to be sort of following through in this. But quite apart from the actual rights issues, the characterisations that Moyes actually draws from the point of view of Will's mother and his father, obviously the parents and the challenges that they actually go through, from the perspective of obviously the character of Louise Clark, who is in the role of the carer, 26, 27 years of age. Louise's boyfriend Patrick, not the best to actually sort of sell your story to the tabloids, as we hear in all sorts of ways. But it was an extraordinarily good read, and I must admit, I sort of picked it up, I think, on Monday of this week. I thought, fine, I'll do my duty, I need to read through this. But it was literally a two-night, so you just go through it, because it's so well written. I thought it was far. Jill Prowse, you were saying it sounded like One Day, which David Nichols actually did. I think it was One Day that was actually there.
Yeah.
I would say it was a lot better than that.
Right.
Equally tragic, after a fashion. Very thought-provoking, because it the unanswered question is, was Will right to take the decision that he actually did? I don't know. I've got to be absolutely honest. I really don't know. I could see that, obviously, the character of Louisa, for her, it was very much the wrong decision. But then she had to move on and she had to develop. And also the backstory of Louisa Clark and the issue that occurred in the maze and the trauma, that we're never quite sure what sort of level of abuse she'd actually suffered in that, from that perspective. But that was also quite fascinating. Louisa's sister, again, had her own challenges and in all sorts of ways. I was just trying to kind of visualise where it was, and I was thinking, was it a kind of Windsor with the Windsor Castle? Was it something in sort of...
I had in my head somewhere in Scotland. I don't know why. I just kept imagining some little Scottish village with this castle there, very small and not a lot going on.
I would have said sort of Kent or home counties, actually. I think from the descriptions that we actually got there, we didn't really get a kind of a Scottish perspective. But in terms of the setup, extraordinary text. And interesting reading the question and answer with JoJo Moyes in the back, really, where she talks about her response to the person's right to die. And she refers to Daniel James, a young rugby player who was paralysed and persuaded his parents to let him go to Dignitas. She was horrified by that and wanted to actually write that. In fact, she actually wrote the book Me Before You without a publishing contract, and she wasn't convinced it would find a publisher given the controversial subject matter. She said it was something she needed to write, strangely liberating, and obviously Penguin picked up on the whole thing. I think the movie rights, if they haven't been optioned, they probably will be in all sorts of ways. Funnily enough, I was actually thinking possibly the character who portrayed Amy Pond in the recent Doctor Who series, Karen Gillan, as being a useful character for Louisa Clark, or indeed any sort of folk in that sort of zone. Who would you actually see as Will Traynor?
Oh, I'm not sure, really. He's obviously very handsome, isn't he? He's a handsome young man. He's confident and...
You still get that. I mean, you still get that even after the sort of the shaving sequence where he loses all his kind of and obviously he's persuaded to actually have shave and restore that. You still get the fact that even though he cannot use his hands or legs, or his arms or legs, and he's effectively paralysed from the sort of mid-chest down, in essence, he's still working through that. I also thought there were issues like, when he struck down with influenza. Or pneumonia, I should say. Very much impact. And as somebody who actually taught in Middlesbrough, Ormsby Comprehensive, which obviously tries to develop things a good few years ago now, it was really kind of an instant reminder of thinking, how do we deal with it? Is it the does he take sugar approach? Is it people talk after him? I thought the way in which his former girlfriend, and obviously the wedding setup and all that, that was fascinating in terms of that. I thought
the trip to the races as well.
Yeah.
Because Louise has sort of come into this role totally no experience whatsoever. She thinks, just let's go out for a nice day and that'll cheer you up. Yeah. And it's just not like that at all. There was so much complication.
He didn't even like horses.
No, and the people staring and he felt humiliated. And it's just, I think I'd probably, before I read this book, I had no idea of, the implications were with someone who was in his situation, the health issues, the problems they faced on a daily basis. It was quite an eye-opener.
And yet, the importance of a positive attitude and all of those things, immeasurable. I mean, that comes through, and I think that aspect in which you had the sort of the sun and the moon scenario with Louisa Clark and the sort of the light and dark thing, I think that worked extraordinarily well to actually give you the notion of saying, well, without going Pollyanna about the whole thing, let's keep going on this and work on that basis. So I'll go to scores before we actually ask, have we persuaded Jill or indeed Kaylee to actually sort of pick up their copy of this book, etc. I'm going to throw in 9.5 actually for this one. I think it was borderline 9.9. I think it's 9.5. It's not, 9.5. I'll go with that. Jill.
Yeah, I think I'll go with that too. Yeah.
Well.
Well, if Jill Appleton has given a book 9.5, I have to read it. No, I mean, seriously, I didn't have the book until now, and you have persuaded me. I'm going to have a big box of tissues ready.
I think that's why.
And I will read it. And if it's as good as you both say, I don't think it'll take me very long.
Oh. Kaylee?
After what you've said as well, I think I'll give it a go. It sounds really good, and as I say, I'm very emotional too.
There we are. Okay, we'll talk about emotion. Great news. The Middlesbrough Literary Festival is happening this year. There is a 2013 Middlesbrough Literary Festival, and I'm looking at the start date, which of course is on the 15th of June with the Electric Kool-Aid Cabaret at Westgarth Social Club. It's an astounding thing. Last seen, of course, when Jill and myself were there celebrating Rob Nichols' birthday.
Oh, yes, that was a night to remember, wasn't it?
Particularly the horse's head, I thought.
Yes.
Enough of such stuff. Cathy Lett will be there on the 17th, of course, at the Central Library. We've got Crime, The Curious Case of Mary Ann Cotton. That's for 16+. We've got Wally K. Daly, local celebrity writer in many ways, having created a whole range of things, including Biker Grove. The costume historians are there. And there's a Litfest mini comic con, which is just a selection of something. Anything else you'd like to sort of draw people's attention to?
We've got this. Fancy writing and you're dabbling a bit in creative writing, there will be lots of creative writing workshops and authors on hand to give you some hints and tips on what to do. If you're in a reading group, you may want to come and join us at Thorntree Community Hub for a reading group open day, and we want to invite all reading groups to come along. We've got author Marion Husband coming to give a little talk, and we're going to be there as well if you want to join in our programme.
It's going to be the first ever live Book of the Month.
And I'm sure you'll do a much better job than me.
Fantastic. So, well, Jill, you'll be on the stage. Jill Prowse will be there. Kayleigh will be with us as well. We might have Rob Nichols back. Who knows? Might even get us.
And we've got Andy Kershaw coming as well. He's going to do a talk at the Mink Bar, so it's going to be good, I think, hopefully, and lots, there'll be other events for children as well, so have a look out for our brochure and get on to the Middlesbrough Council website for more information.
Exactly. And we've got a special little shout-out to a gentleman who's celebrating his 70th birthday this week. That's in Ward 30, actually. That's David Burrows. So happy birthday to David Burrows.
Happy birthday.
Yes, marvellous stuff there. So, Jill Prowse, are you excited by the Middlesbrough Literary Festival?
I am. It sounds great. It sounds as packed as ever and as interesting as ever, so I shall try and get to some of it.
So you're quite a one for the costume historian.
Oh, yes, I love that. So I shall definitely try and get there.
Yeah. And Kayleigh, are you sort of heading your way as you sort of take time out between your second year and third year at the University of Teesside?
Yes, definitely. It'll be my first time there, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent. Well, again, a little bit of stuff to work through that. We've got not one, but two books of the month that we're going to be looking for as far as June is actually concerned, one of which, of course, we'll cover live. So go on, share the news. What will we be covering, Jill Appleton?
Well, as we've got the wonderful Cathy Lett coming to Middlesbrough, we thought we'd give her one of her books a try, Alter Ego, and we thought we'd also do a classic. We've got 39 Steps as well, so...
It's a possibility to catch her in the rye, but in the end we thought we'd go straight.
So if you've read 39 Steps and you want to come to our live show and comment on what you thought of it, well, please do.
It'll be the same thing, which I might actually take the challenge of, rather than sort of pre-recording the inserts, I might actually do those live as well. So it'd be quite exciting.
Yes.
Always good. Okay, that's it then. Thanks to Kayleigh, to Jill, and to Jill. Thank you. Thank you, dear listener, for obviously being part of the Book of the Month. Don't forget, all the books of the month are available at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. You might already know that because you might be listening to that via the system in the first place. I think most of the people actually do these days. That's pretty much a wrap for today. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Being chosen as an author for the Southside Book of the Month with Jill Appleton is one of life's top honors. Now on to the Booker Prize for Literature.